Paribhadrakacharya Astacharya Satya Sri Srimanas Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridasa Thakur Ki Jai Prem Shri Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Adigaur Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shamakund Radhakund Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Mathura Dham Ki Jai Navadweep Dham Ki Jai Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai Jagannath Swami Ki Jai Jamuna Mayi Ki Jai Ganga Mayi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Srimati Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai Sama Veda Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai Gopremanandi All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to Sri Guru and Guranga Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Today we're reading from Canto 10, Chapter 15, which is the killing of Denuka, the ass demon. We're reading text 9 through 12. I'll chant text 9, and we'll chant text 9 together, and then I'll read text 10 to 12. Sri Suka Vacha. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Sri Suka Uvacha.
Evam Vrindavanam Srimat
Krishna Prita Manapasun
Krishna Prita Manapasun
Reme Sancharayan Adre
Sarid Rahasu Sagnuga Sanga
Sarid Rodha Su Sanuga
Sri Sukuvacha
Evam Vrindavanam Srimat
Krishna Prita Manapasun
Reme Sancharayan Adre
Sarid Rodha Su Sanuga
please chant. Evam Vrindavanam Sriman Krishna Prita Manapasun Rene Sancharayan Sadhir Lodha Shusamha Sri Sukha Vacha Evan Vrindavanam Srimat Krishna Prita Manapashum Sadhir Rodha Susanga Sri Shukha Uvacha Evam Vrindavanam Srimat Reme Sancharayana Dre Sarid Rodha Sri Sanuga Lady Ladies, Sri Sukha Vacha, Evam Vrindavanam Srimat, Krishna Prita Manapasum, Reme Sancharayan Adre, Sarid Rodha Shusanuga, Sri Sukha Vacha, Sri Sukadev Goswami said, Evam, in this way, Vrindavanam, with the forest of Vrindavan and its inhabitants, Srimat, beautiful, Krishna, Lord Krishna, Pratamana, being satisfied in his mind, Kashun, the animals, Reme, he took pleasure, Sancharayan, making them graze, Adre, in the vicinity of the mountain, Sarit, of the river, Rodhasu, upon the banks, Sa Anugaha, together with his companions. Translation by Srila Prabhupada's disciples. Sri Sukadev Goswami said, not yet, hold on, thus expressing his satisfaction with the beautiful forest of Vrindavan and its inhabitants, Lord Krishna enjoyed tending the cows and other animals with his friends on the bank of the river Jamuna below Govardhan Hill. Together? We can do it together, all right? Sri Sukadev Goswami said, thus satisfaction with the beautiful forest of Vrindavan and its inhabitants. Lord Krishna enjoyed tending the cows and other animals and his friends on the bank of the river Jamuna below Govardhan Hill. Kind of reminds you of that song, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Because everything, Prabhupada said one time after he chanted that song, he said, everything is there. Vrindavan is there. The river Jamuna is there. Govardhan is there, Mother Yasoda is there, everything is there in that song. Okay, there's no purport to that verse, and then there's text 10 to 12, which we'll also cover today, but I'm going to skip the Sanskrit. I'm just going to go to the translation. Text 10 to 12, translation. Sometimes honeybees in Vrindavan became so mad with ecstasy that they closed their eyes and began to sing. So, just one slight interruption. You have to listen with rapt attention. You have to listen really closely and get every single point. Try to get every single point that's mentioned in this verse, because afterwards you're going to have a test, okay? Sometimes the honeybees in Vrindavan became so mad with ecstasy that they closed their eyes and began to sing. Lord Krishna, moving along the forest path with his cowherd boyfriends and Baladev, would then respond to the bees by imitating their singing while his friends sang about his pastimes. Sometimes Lord Krishna would imitate the chattering of a parrot, sometimes with a sweet voice the call of a cuckoo, and sometimes the cooing of swans. Sometimes he vigorously imitated the dancing of the peacock, making his cowherd boyfriends laugh. Sometimes with a voice as deep as the rumbling of clouds, he would call out with great affection the names of the animals who had wandered far from the herd, thus enchanting the cows and the cowherd boys. Okay, good. Turn off the sign up there, please. So what do you remember about that verse? What was the first?
The bees.
The bees. And what were they doing?
Closing their eyes.
Closing their eyes. Why? Yeah, they were in ecstasy, but they were doing something too.
Singing.
The bees were singing. Okay. Krishna knows. Do you know why Krishna knows? Because he can speak any language of any of the animals. We'll talk about that later. Okay, what else do you remember about that verse? Somebody else. Remember something else? What else was happening in that verse? Besides the bees? Yes?
Then he was imitating
the sounds of the birds. He was also imitating the sounds of the bees, too, but it's okay. The sounds of the birds and the cuckoos. Anything else? He was calling the names of the cows that had wandered far away, or the other animals. It says other animals. Okay, so here's the purport. Thank you. Something else you remember that I didn't mention? Madan? He was dancing like the peacock and making his friends. And that's what's going to tell us a little bit more about that dancing in the purport. In the purport by Srila Prabhupada's disciples, Srila Sanatana Goswami explains that Lord Krishna would joke with his friends, saying, "Just look, this peacock does not know how to dance properly." Whereupon the Lord would vigorously imitate the peacock's dancing, causing great laughter amongst his friends. The bees in Vrindavan would drink the sap of the forest flowers, and the combination of this nectar and the association of Sri Krishna made them mad with intoxication. Thus they closed their eyes in ecstasy and expressed their satisfaction by humming. And this humming was also expertly imitated by the Lord. Om Ajnati Mirandasya Janandana Samakaya Chaksu Umilitam Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. So here we are, almost, Krishna's almost, he's walking into Vrindavan forest, and as you probably noticed, he's been walking into the Vrindavan forest for many verses now. 13 verses so far, he's still walking into the Vrindavan forest, and we're getting a nice description of all the beautiful sights and sounds and animals and activities that he's doing as he walks into this Vrindavan forest. But the amazing thing, one of the amazing things that strikes you upon hearing this description and hearing these previous descriptions is how Krishna can relate. He's relating. If one is in a rather dull state of mind when he reads these verses, he walks in the forest, he looks at the cows, and he's seeing the bees and the parrots, okay. And in the next verse, he walks in the forest, and the bees and the cows and the parrots, and you think, okay. But actually, Krishna's relating with the ultimate exchange with every living entity. He's not just relating with his cowherd boyfriends who are having wonderful pastimes with him, but he's relating even with the bees. He's relating with the bees. He's relating with... He's having a relationship even with the trees. In the previous verse, it was how he would sometimes touch the trees and the flowers and with his hands. He would smile upon them. The cows, what to speak of the cows, how he would, his loving relationship and exchange with the cows. And every one of these living entities, although it might appear with mundane vision, it might appear they are less fortunate. They're not having such an intimate relationship with Krishna because they're not human. They're not in a human form. There's no limitation to Krishna. That's why Krishna, he's the king. He's the king of all rasas, of all exchanges of mellows. Rasaraj. Krishna's the Rasaraj. And he can exchange. And as we were saying previously, he knows what those bees were saying. Nectar of Devotion explains that Krishna can speak the language of all the animals and all the human beings. And you think about that, it's so true, because we never think twice. Oh, thanks. We never think twice about offering our prayers to Krishna in English. Of course he speaks English, because everybody intelligent speaks English, right? But someone else, they're offering their prayers in Spanish. Someone else is offering their prayers in Russian. Someone else is offering their prayers to the Lord in Roman languages. In all of those languages, and there's no doubt in that person's mind who's offering their prayers that the Lord can understand. So that don't have any doubt in your mind that the Lord's not understanding just what those bees are saying. And there's a good chance, based on authoritative speculation, that those bees are offering prayers, Vedic hymns, just like Garuda. When Garuda flaps his wings, what's happening? Not just wind is blowing, but the Vedic hymns are emanating from the flapping of his wings. So what to speak of? What prayers or hymns are there? That's why the bees want to be there, because they're great devotees of the Lord, and they want to offer their prayers to the Lord. Not only that, but some service that the bees renders is that sometimes when Krishna's about to play his flute, and he doesn't quite know what note to start on, the bee will give him the note, and he'll start his tune on that note. So they're offering service in so many ways. Service to the Lord is not restricted by your body, what body you're in. Sometimes we might think, oh, I'm a such and such person. I'm very qualified. I'm the pujari. I'm very qualified to offer. I can offer so many circles so nicely and whatever. But that's not, service to Krishna is not limited to that. Prabhupada said, the person who dresses the deities and the person who washes the floor for the Lord, they're seen equally by the Lord. What's seen? What is seen by the Lord? The attitude, the intention. So someone can be offering the arti. I'm just picking that out. I'm not picking on anybody. Somebody can be doing some very intimate service to the Lord, and the mind is thinking, oh, after I do this, I got to go to the store, and when the guy never called me back, and I have this bill to pay, and person's cooking an offering or whatever. And someone else might be sweeping the floor or cleaning the bathroom thinking, oh, my Lord, please accept this menial service. I'm not qualified to offer you anything very special, but I hope this pleases you. And that's seen by the Lord. Krishna, he's called Bhavagrahi Janardana. Bhavagrahi Janardana. In the 8th canto, this is mentioned, probably in other places also. It's mentioned that when Bali first entered Bali was in the sacrificial arena. When Vamana first entered the sacrificial arena of Bali Maharaj, Bali Maharaj was immediately captivated by the Lord's beauty. And he, at that very instant, upon seeing Lord Vamanadeva, wanted to offer him everything. And Krishna saw that and accepted that. At that point, that was even before the whole thing with Sukracharya and everything. That was all before that. Krishna saw that intention of Bali, and he kept that intention in his heart, and he remembers that. And Krishna will see whatever little service you do in whatever lifetime you did it in. We might render some service in this lifetime, and for circumstance of nature or whatever, not come to a complete level of transcendental realization, but we've rendered a little bit of service in this lifetime. Krishna will remember that, and he'll remember that. Just like whatever canto Nisringadev's in. Seventh canto, thank you. In the seventh canto, after Lord Nisringadev had killed Hiranyakashipu, it explains that Lord Nisringadev was very happy to sit on the throne of Hiranyakashipu. And so in the purport, Prabhupada makes the comment why he was happy, because he didn't see him as Hiranyakashipu. He saw beyond that. He saw him as his servant, Jai or Vijay, whoever one he was. He saw him as that, and that he had offered that throne to him. He had the Lord sit in his heart and offer a throne to him, and the Lord accepted that with great pleasure. So all of these activities that are going on here, they're not just ordinary pastimes. They're just not. Vrindavan's not an ordinary place. Everything in Vrindavan is conscious. The trees are conscious. The creepers are conscious. Everything is conscious. And everything is completely sat. Everything. Every person there, in whatever form they're in, is completely satisfied and happy to render service to the Lord in that form. So some of the service that's mentioned here is like the service of the cuckoos and the parrots. So as mentioned, I think it was Trivikram Prabhu who mentioned yesterday in at the end of class how Krishna, when he had gone to Gurukul, Sandipani Muni's Gurukul, one of the 64 arts that he had studied was how to teach parrots and birds how to talk. So the parrots and the birds, and we can even know in Chaitanya Leela, when Lord Chaitanya was going through, he used to be up on the wall, Jarikanda Forest. That must have been a few paintings back. Anyway, when Lord Chaitanya was going through Jarikanda Forest, at one particular point he sat under a tree and he heard the Sukha and the Sari, the male and the female parrot, having their discourse on the glories, some of the glories. Who is more glorious personality? Was it Radha? So the female parrot, she was voting for Radha. And the male parrot, he was voting for the glories of Krishna, you know, and they were talking about who's glorious. So and then there's many pastimes in Vrindavan Leela of the parrots talking, sometimes getting people in trouble because the parrots are giving away the secrets that just happened that they weren't supposed to know about, but the parrot just said, Krishna's over here with Padma. Padma? Oh, no. And then there was... When I mentioned this verse to somebody reminded me of the... Oh, it was Pasupati. Hi, Pasupati. Pasupati reminded me of the parrots. Sometimes the parrots or the birds in Vrindavan would be fainted. They'd be on the ground or tipped over or upside down, fainted in ecstasy of something that they just heard or saw. So, and the cuckoos. Does anybody know what makes a cuckoo's voice really sweet? Or one of the things that makes a cuckoo's, the sound of the cuckoo's voice, I'll give you a hint. In springtime, the cuckoo's voice is more sweet because, but you can't say. We know you know. You know what makes it's the mango buds. The more mango buds that a cuckoo eats in the springtime, the more sweet his voice or her voice becomes. So, and the swans, I couldn't remember many pastimes with swans in it, except for the pastime of the Hamsa Duda, when Srila Rupa Goswami wrote the Hamsa Duda play, and that was about Hamsa Duda, the king of the swans, and that was a play in separation, which does relate to this verse, because that... As it also talks about the animals. So Srila Rupa Goswami, he would write many plays in Vrindavan, many writings, not just plays. And oftentimes one of his favorite places to write was Ter Kadamba. Ter Kadamba is in between Nandagram and Yavat. Is that correct? Okay. Nandagram and Yavat. And that's the place that Krishna would sit in the afternoon. He'd climb a big, huge Kadamba tree there. And he'd be looking and counting. He'd be looking for his cows and counting, make sure he had all the cows. To signal them to come home and stop eating, he would play his flute, a certain flute, in a certain way. He had various flutes, which of one type of flute, the Murali flute, I've heard from authoritative sources. It was Jagatarini I've heard from. That the Murali flute is a female, and all the others are male flutes. That's all I understand. Anyway, so he would play a certain flute in a certain way, and the cows would hear it, and it would be time to come home. But he would also, as it's mentioned here, he would call out in great affection for the names of the cows. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 35th chapter, which is Gopi Geet, when the gopis sing of their separation, there in the 35th chapter, one of the verses there, in the purport, because the gopis are praising Krishna as the cowherd boy taking care of his cows, in the purport it's mentioned that Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has given an analyzation. He's analyzed the groups of cows that are there. Did you know that there are four major colors? Yellow, white, black, and red. But each of those four divisions of cows have 25 subdivisions. Okay? So that makes 100 groups of cows. But Krishna had more. He had 108 groups of cows, because some of the groups were speckled. Some of the groups were grouped by the shape of their head, Madanga Mukhi, or Simha Mukhi, the lion-shaped heads. Some of them had tilak marks. So there was 108 groups of cows, and he would count the cows in that 25, in those groups. He had a string of jewels with 108 jewels on it, and he would sit sometimes in Ter Kadamba, in that big Kadamba tree, counting, calling out the names of his cows and counting the group. And he would call out, I should have remembered the names, the groups, like the white, some of the white cows were called Hamsi. Hamsa is a white swan. Some of the red cows, I can't remember the red groups, but then they had different names. And because he didn't want to miss any of the cows. And you can also imagine, again, this is just a little bit of an imagination, how those, some of those cows, it could be within the realm of transcendental possibility that some of those cows would hang out in the back, or hang behind, or go behind a tree, or look like they were lost or not coming. So Krishna would call them, "Hey Diwali, hey Hamsi, hey Madangamukhi," and they would hear, "Oh, Krishna's calling my name," and go. So some of this information is given in Srimad Bhagavatam, and some through the writings of the Acharyas. But so we get a transcendental pleasure in hearing this information. But here's what we need to do. We need to learn how to be transcendentally eager and to hear everything in Srimad Bhagavatam. Everything in Srimad Bhagavatam will give transcendental pleasure. In Srila Sanatana Goswami, it's mentioned here in the verse, this is quoting about how Krishna would imitate the peacocks and make jokes. So Srila Sanatana Goswami also has a prayer glorifying Srimad Bhagavatam that's in the Krishna Lila Stava. And at the in those prayers, he says, every syllable of Srimad Bhagavatam will rain prema, love for Krishna, on the reader. Every syllable, not just the exciting parts or the parts that are exciting to us at that particular, every syllable of Srimad Bhagavatam rains love of Krishna upon the reader. So therefore we have to, we're hearing this great transcendental level of ecstatic hearing. How do we get there from where we are here, where sometimes we're interested in hearing the Bhagavatam and sometimes it's less interesting or less, we're more in the modes? So there's many verses throughout the Bhagavatam explaining the quality or what we need to aspire for or how we need to hear Srimad Bhagavatam in order to get to that level. So in one place, Srila Jiva Goswami, Srila Jiva Goswami says that we need to be like a calf, like the calf who's following his mother, waiting, you know, trying to get the milk from her udder, you know? So the calf who's following his mother, if he's really hungry, he's not going to be casual about it. He's not going to be spaced out. He's not going to let his mother wander off. He's going to be right there by her legs getting that milk whenever she stands still. Sometimes if you notice, well, I notice with Mr. Buki's cows, because they have calves, ours, at this particular point in their lives are beyond the calving stage. But the mothers, they keep walking sometimes because, you know, they've already sucked out all of her milk at the time, and they got to give her a little time more to process more milk internally. So anyway, Jiva Goswami says that our ears have to follow the words, and we have to be that eager as the calf is that eager to get the milk from his mother. And in second canto Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a nice verse. Shrinvatam Shraya Nityam Grinatas Chasvachetistam Kalena Nida Na, thank you. Na digir nena, Bhagavan vishate hridi. So it's explaining there. Here's the verse. Persons who hear Srimad Bhagavatam regularly and are always taking the matter very seriously, what's the result of that? Will have the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna manifest in their heart in a very short time. So Shraddhaya, with faith, we have to hear with faith. We have to be in swachestita. We have to, with our whole being, we have to be anxious to hear. And it can't be, you know, more effect will be there. More effect will be there if it's regularly, if we hear regularly. And that's why Srila Prabhupada had this regular morning program that every day we'd hear. And what to speak of if every day we can read. And what to speak of if every day we can tell somebody what we read. Then that excitement, that taste, that flavor, it grows and grows and grows. There's other verses in Bhagavatam, all throughout the Bhagavatam. Okay, 3:25:25. Nice, that's a very famous verse, which I once upon a time had totally memorized, but hold on. Satam prasangam mama virya samvido bhavanti hrit karana, hrit heart, karana ear, bhavanti hrit karana, rasayana kata, and I'll tell you what rasayana is in a minute, rasayana kata, tadjoshanav asva pavargavatmani, shraddha, ratir, bhakti, anukramisyati. Okay? Satam prasangam, but the glories of the Lord are very nicely heard and explained in the association of devotees, sangha. But interestingly enough, it's not just sangha, it's prasangha. Prasangha, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also has a comment on that, on many things he has comments on, but on that he also, prasangha, sangha means association, a religious association, but it could mean in a sangha one's talking about morality, vegetarianism, so many religious principles. Prasanga means particularly an association of devotees. It's talking about Krishna and his energies and his forms and his activities, Krishna focused. Prasanga, bhavanti, that the feeling will go in the heart and in the ear, and it will be like a rasayana. Rasayana is a medicine in Ayurveda. Rasayana is a medicine that in the Ayurveda, some of the preparations, I don't know if all of them, but some of them are preserved. The medicinal herbs are preserved in ghee, a mixture of ghee and honey. And that combination of ghee and honey and herbs, the interesting thing is, becomes more potent than just the herbs by themselves. Just the herbs by themselves have this particular potency, but the ghee and the honey mixed together with the herbs, the herbs become more potent. So the katha about Krishna becomes more potent in that rasayana, in that association of devotees, because everybody's eager, and everybody has something to offer and hear, and it becomes more intense. So you might notice a difference. I've personally experienced this in my life, that when I read on my own, there's so much I get and so much I miss. But when you read it out loud in the association of other people, even the little, what seems to be a little thing, you pick it up much faster. Oh, I didn't know that was, I missed that when I was by myself. That must have been the time when I nodded off. Oh, no, there it is. You know, so that's what we need to aspire for and practice, those things that hearing Bhagavatam with eagerness. There's a nice story in this regard. There's many nice stories, but there's one particular nice story in Gita Mahatmya of Dundukari and Gokarna. Dundukari and Gokarna were brothers. Dundukara, thank you. Dundukara was the wicked brother. He was the evil one. He had a lot of problems in his life and had a lot of material desires that he tried to fulfill by, one of them was killing his mother, but anyway, he didn't, anyway, whatever. Taking all the wealth of the family and enjoying the wealth of the family. He was raised in a nice Brahmin family, but had different desires in his heart. And he was living with 5 prostitutes, and he was plundering and this and that and this and that. On the other hand, Gokarna, who had an interesting birth, but we won't go into that right now. Gokarna was very saintly and very detached. And when he saw his brother going astray and things happening, he realized, you know, I'm out of here. I'm just going to go, and kept his meditation. He wasn't disturbed. He wasn't attached. He wasn't disturbed. He was a very saintly, detached personality. So anyway, so Dundukari, at one particular point, the 5 prostitutes who were that Dundukari was associating with simultaneously, decided, this man is going to get us in trouble because he's doing so much evil deeds and killing and plundering. The king's definitely going to send his men to get Dundukari any day now. And if we're here, we're going to get in trouble. So better, somehow or other, they thought, better let us kill him. So they killed Dundukari in a really gruesome way. And not only did they try to kill him by putting a noose around his neck and choking him, but he didn't die right away. They tied his hands and his feet. They put a noose around his neck. They choked him. And then he wasn't dying right away. So they had to stuff burning logs down his mouth. Finally, in that gruesome, horrible way, he left his body and became a ghost. So at one particular point, Gokarna came back to his birth house. And Dundukari was, you know, in his ghost form, haunting his brother in so many ways, you know, as an elephant or this or that. And so Dundukari said, "What? Who are you? What are you? Please show yourself to me and tell me what's your intention. What's going on here?" And then so Dundukari said, "I am your brother, Dundukari. Please release me from this ghostly form. Please save me if you can." And so Gokarna was a little surprised by this, because Gokarna, when he had heard that his brother had left his body, Gokarna had traveled to Gaya and performed Shraddha sacrifice for him. So he was surprised that Dundukari was still in a ghost form. I'm getting to the Bhagavatam part any minute now. So anyway, the explanation was that there's no way that he had so many sinful activities, he couldn't be cleansed in any way. Now I just remembered, Gokarna, he went and consulted. He said, "Okay, I don't know, I already did this Shraddha ceremony. I thought it was going to work for you. I don't know what it is that I have to do exactly. Give me a few days, and let me go ask the learned priest or whatever, and I'll come back." So in consulting whoever, I think it was a demigod. Sun god, right? Okay, sun god. Surya Narayan, thank you. And consulting Surya Narayan, Narayan said, "Yeah, the Shraddha ceremony wasn't powerful. The only thing that's going to save your brother is recitation of Bhagavatam." So he said, okay, now I got it. Now I got the information. Look, okay. So he goes back to the house and he tells Dundukari, "Okay, I'm going to recite you my Bhagavatam. You've got to listen, really. This is going to save you." And so he actually told all the villagers, and so all the villagers were quite interested also, because they also wanted liberation too. So Dundukari, being in a ghostly form, he couldn't when Gokarna started to sit down and have a Vaishnava recite the Bhagavatam, Dundukari couldn't sit because he was a ghost. So he took shelter of a bamboo rod that had 7 knots in it. And they put the rod in the center. All the people were around. The Vaishnava was chanting Srimad Bhagavatam. And at the end of every day, one of the knots would break off the rod. And so they were realizing, oh, a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. He's been... So at the 7th day, all of a sudden, an airplane from Vaikuntha, an effulgent airplane from Vaikuntha comes down. Dundukari's there in a celestial form, and they take him back to Vaikuntha. And Gokarna says, hey, wait a minute. Sorry. He says, excuse me, there's other people listening to the Bhagavatam too. Why didn't you take them back? The reason is because they didn't listen with the same intensity, the same intention, the same eagerness, the same desire as Dundukari did. So all the people would said, oh, can you do it again? So they did it. I don't know if the people said that. But anyway, so he did. He actually, again, they recited the Bhagavatam. And this time, they all listened with intensity, with intention, with desire, like a calf waiting for the mother to give him the milk. And that's what we have to practice, to hear our Bhagavatam, hear the Bhagavatam, hear the words of Krishna with that intensity. And then, very soon, it's not a long time, this one life, Prabhupada's promise, just this one life, you can go back to God. We have our little reading group in the afternoon, and at this particular point in time, we're reading at Mother Indrani's house, and it's so nice to have her association. She'll say every time she gets a chance, in this very life, we can do it. When she has so much faith, little tears sometimes come to her eyes. In this very life, we just have to go on hearing. And that's the value of association like that. To have an association with someone who has so much faith in hearing the Lord's pastimes. So, I was going to read one more thing, okay? And then we'll close up here. So here at the end, we heard a little teeny weeny weeny bit about the glories of hearing the Bhagavatam. We heard a little bit about Krishna's pastimes. This is a receding microphone here. Anyway, it's okay. We're almost finished. Sorry. Okay, here's a prayer, a song by Srila Rupa Goswami that I got off the internet. It's called Sri Keshavastikam. Keshavastikam by Srila Rupa Goswami. But the thing about this verse is, this prayer is, it's supposed to be recited, it's supposed to be chanted at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Do some of the people know why it should be, what the significance of 4 o'clock in the afternoon is in relation to Krishna's pastimes, such as that we're hearing now? Gandharvika ji.
That's when Krishna comes home from the cowherd.
That's exactly it. Exactly. That's when Krishna comes home from herding the cows. And so I thought it was appropriate. Even though this is Krishna entering the forest, we can just imagine. Krishna entering the forest, there's a certain amount of ecstasy for the cows and the animals and the birds and the trees and the creepers and the cowherd boys. But in the afternoon, those cowherd boys, the trees, the creepers, the animals, the deer, they come up to the edge of the forest and they just sit there and then they're waiting till tomorrow. They'll stay right in that spot and they'll wait for tomorrow till he comes out again, and then they'll go out again. So the morning time's really ecstatic for those persons, and the gopis are thinking, oh, Krishna's out in the forest. So everybody's in ecstasy, in different moods and relationships. So here's one for 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I worship Keshava, who returns from the forest of Vraj with his ears. Okay, so don't forget to listen like the calf, really eagerly, because you'll pick up so many beautiful things. With his ears beautified with earrings made of fresh kadamba buds, whose crown is brightened by blooming malati flowers, and around whose neck is a wreath of slightly blooming yutika flowers. I worship Keshava, who returns from the forest of Raj, joyfully wandering amongst his Surabhi cows, calling them by names. These are new names. Prashangi, Mahikat Manikastani, Pratnatashringi, Pingakshini, Mridangamukhi, Numali, Shabali, Hamsi, Vishnu, Vamsi Priye. I worship Keshava, who returns from the forest of Raj. He is softened by deep love, enjoys sweet, joking conversations, like he had today in the Bhagavatam, and is the abode of all playful enjoyment. He shines in many different dresses and laughs at the best jokes that his friends make along the way. I worship Keshava, who returns from the forest of Raj. The leaves that were painted on his cheeks with the mountain minerals are slightly washed away by drops of perspiration, and his curly locks defeat the luster of a cluster of bees. I worship Keshava, who returns from the forest of Raj. The cows that eagerly look at their bound-up calves deeply carve the soil with their dancing hooves, and he withholds them with the soft playing of his flute. I worship Keshava, who returns from the forest of Raj, beautifying the roads with his footprints, whose garland is made gray by the dust thrown up by the herds of restless cows, and whose cloth, scarf, and crown are moving along with the waves of the blowing wind. I worship Keshava, who returns from the forest of Raj, where he gladdened the minds of all the cowherd girls at once with the playful and artful tunes of his murali flute, which causes them to horripilate in ecstasy within their inner quarters, and who constantly gives joy to the heart of the queen of Raj, Yasoda. I worship Keshava, who returns to the forest of Raj, being worshipped by hundreds of dancing, playful glances and beautiful smiles of the beautiful girls on the road, and in the corners of whose bee-like eyes move restlessly around the bud of the breasts of the gopis. Now here's the Shrutifala, here's the fruit. To anyone who nicely recites these 8 prayers that are a festival of bliss for all the cowherd girls, the friend of Vishakha, Sri Krishna, will give firmly fixed attraction to his lotus feet. Such a pure-minded soul will attain all happiness. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes ki jai. Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam with deep intention and intensity, ki jai. Comments? Everybody's stunned. Good. Yes, Prabhu?
There's so many comments.
I know.
The reciter in that story, what was his result?
Srila Rupa Goswami's result?
Dundukari
story.
Uh-oh.
Oh, that's true. That was the end. Lord Narayan himself came to get the reciter in the story of Dundukari.
So anybody's glorifying Krishna is never lost.
Never lost. And like we said, Krishna, he remembers whatever little bit you do. So even one might think, oh, I'm so far away from 100% unalloyed pure devotional service. That may be true, but what? Oh, that was a part of that verse from 3:25:25. Shraddha, ratir, bhakti. It doesn't happen all at once. It happens in kramas and step by faithfully hearing from shraddha to rati. That's a big stretch from shraddha to rati. But anyway, shraddha, ratir, bhakti, a new commission. It'll happen. It'll come. So we might be at this present moment so far away from 100% unalloyed pure devotional service, remembering Krishna in ecstasy at every moment of every day. But the little bit that we do, little, will have its effect. So therefore, we should try to increase our hearing every day. Hear with more intensity, chant with more intensity, repeat what we've heard with more intention, and everything will come. Everything will come from that. Thank you. I know you want to say more, but you...
That rati is
bhav. Shraddha to bhav is a bar...
And that bhakti is prem bhakti.
Prem. And so from shraddha to bhav to prem does not happen overnight. It could.
But Mahaprabhu says no.
But anyway, anything is possible, but it happens by steps. Even Lord Brahma says, it happens by steps. Just take the step. So take one more step closer today.